You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Alert, hourly update. Breaking crime news now.
I'm Nicole Parton. Jose Ibarra, the individual facing charges for the murder of Augusta University student Laken Riley on the University of Georgia campus in February, is reportedly opting for a bench trial by the judge instead of a jury trial. Fox News was inside the courtroom when this announcement was made.
The state was contacted by the defense last week, and they let the state know that they wish to waive the defendant's right to a trial by jury. And instead, this defendant wishes to seek a trial by judge only, a bench trial.
Ibarra, 26, is accused of fatally attacking Riley, a 22-year-old nursing student, while she was jogging on one of UGA's popular pedestrian trails, this on an early morning in February 22. Holloway expressed confusion over Ibarra's decision to request a bench trial, which was approved by state prosecutors and granted by Judge Patrick Haggard. Ibarra's trial is now set to commence tomorrow, a change from the previously scheduled jury trial happening on Monday. Holloway remarked, quote, "This decision seems to be a way for him to fast track himself to a life without parole. It will certainly expedite the process. From a legal standpoint, I can't comprehend the defense's reasoning behind this." He further explained that by selecting a bench trial, Ibarra is forfeiting his last chance to sway a jury into doubting his guilt. Rather than risking a potential mistrial due to a juror's skepticism, Ibarra will now present his case directly to a judge who will determine his outcome. Holloway noted that the evidentiary process in a bench trial is typically quicker and that both sides might skip opening and closing statements, which are standard in a jury trial, as they are not deemed necessary in this setting. Ibarra and his brothers, who are also undocumented immigrants from Venezuela, resided in an apartment near the park where Riley was running. The incident was described by UGA Police Chief Jeffrey Clark as, quote, "a crime of opportunity." In May, a grand jury in Georgia indicted Ibarra on multiple charges, including malice murder, two counts of kidnapping resulting in bodily injury, two counts of aggravated assault with intent to commit rape, and several other offenses, including tampering with evidence and being a peeping Tom. The peeping Tom charge originates from a separate incident on the same day when Ibarra allegedly looked through a window of a residence on the UGA campus, spying on a university staff member. Ibarra had recently attempted to have his charge dismissed. However, prosecutors contended that both incidents were closely linked, and the judge opted to keep the charges together. Additionally, the judge has allowed DNA and cell phone evidence, which Ibarra's defense team sought to suppress. He is scheduled to return to court tomorrow for the trial, with jury selection initially set for November 13, prior to this request for a bench trial. Ibarra crossed into the United States illegally through El Paso, Texas, in September 2022, and was subsequently released into the U.S. under Border Patrol services, as reported by ICE and DHS sources. His older brother, Diego Ibarra, faces charges related to a green card fraud case and is linked to the notorious Venezuela gang in the United States, known as Tren de Aragua. According to federal court documents, both men should have been deported before, but remain in the United States.
I'm Drew Nelson. A Las Vegas woman is found dead in a freezer inside her own home, where the suspect allegedly continued to live with the body until it was discovered. Monique Gilbertson, age 68, lived for more than 20 years in a mobile home where neighbors knew her well. They noticed her absence after October 22nd. She was usually seen walking her dog every day. Concerned neighbors contacted the mobile home parks management, who requested a welfare check November 6th. Police got there and knocked for 45 minutes. And they finally went in after receiving no response. But inside, they found two people, including 37-year-old Jaslyn Roush, who had been living with Gilbertson. During the search, they discovered Gilbertson's body inside a locked freezer. Roush admitted putting her there, allegedly telling police, quote, "I put her in the icebox because I didn't know what to do."
I told her many times, don't give these friendly people too much information. Well, she wouldn't listen, but she was a good girl. She had a good heart.
Neighbor Christine Marshall tells KVVU she knew the victim for the whole time she lived there at the trailer park. Court records reveal Roush allegedly provided Gilbertson with the cocaine laced with fentanyl that caused her death, claiming that Gilbertson accidentally overdosed. Police found cocaine, methamphetamine, fentanyl, a digital scale, and other paraphernalia in the home. Gilbertson had previously accused Roush of stealing from her and tried to evict her. Despite being locked out, Roush was still able to gain access to the home after Gilbertson's death. Roush gave inconsistent accounts of where she found Gilbertson's body. At first, she claimed Gilbertson was at the dining room table surrounded by drugs, but later, she said the body was in a different room. Roush's wife, Gina Lopez Roush, initially denied knowing about the freezer, but later admitted she knew the body had been there for 4 days. She also confessed to helping purchase the laced drugs. Police believe Roush, quote, willfully, unlawfully, feloniously, and with malice, caused Gilbertson's death. They charge her with second-degree murder. Roush pleaded not guilty during a court appearance. Her preliminary hearing is set for November 27th. The investigation is ongoing, and authorities are still working to confirm Gilbertson's exact cause of death. Marshall, the longtime neighbor, says, quote, she probably would have given them anything they wanted. This should never have happened to her.
I'm Jennifer Gould. A Florida mother's determination to protect her daughter from a predator turns into a dramatic showdown and shooting. The incident began when the mom discovered her 13-year-old daughter exchanging inappropriate text messages with an adult male. Taking decisive action, the mom confiscated her daughter's phone and then, posing as the teen, arranged a meeting with the suspect identified as 18-year-old Sari Rodriguez Banks at a Popeyes in Jacksonville. Here's Jacksonville Sheriff T.K. Waters talking to the media.
Absolutely. We'd like for parents to let us handle these situations. Listen, it's protective in nature, and moms and dads are going to do what they feel they need to do to protect their kids, in which we can't really blame them for doing it, but we do ask to allow us to make sure we take care of situations like this.
Banks arrived at the restaurant expecting to meet the young girl, but instead encountered the mother, her daughter, and her 11-year-old son. The situation took a dangerous turn, though, when Banks allegedly lifted his shirt, revealing a handgun tucked menacingly in his waistband. According to authorities, he then threatened the mother, stating, quote, "When you hear the shots tonight, you know what's up," end quote. Fearing for the safety of her children and herself, the unidentified mom retreated into the Popeyes and immediately contacted the police. Responding officers arrived approximately 30 minutes later to find Banks still lingering outside the restaurant. Knowing the suspect was armed and potentially dangerous, the officer cautiously approached Banks, ordering him to turn around and show his hands. The already tense situation escalated, however, when Banks reportedly disobeyed commands and bolted, running around to the back of the Popeyes. The officer then gave chase. As the officer rounded the corner, he witnessed Banks draw his weapon from his waistband, and with no time to hesitate, the officer fired multiple shots, striking Banks. Though wounded, Banks continued to run, disappearing behind a nearby business. A canine unit was deployed to track the suspect down, eventually locating him hiding in a drainage tunnel. Medical personnel were called to the scene to treat Banks for superficial gunshot wounds. He was then taken to the hospital for further treatment. Banks faces a multitude of charges, including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, lewd and lascivious conduct with a minor, unlawful use of a communication device, and traveling to meet a minor after online solicitation. He is currently being held on a $700,000 bond. The officer on the scene was not hurt. For the latest crime and justice news, follow the Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcast app. With this crime alert, I'm Jennifer Gould.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.